Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the War Room Podcast with your host, as usual, Vega. Now, folks, we are covering the NXT broadcast of NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. And what a podcast it was. Just absolute brutality at its finest, pure wrestling. I mean, folks, this was a show that, you know, it was intense. Everything about that show was intense. The action, the excitement, everything about that show, it was unexpected. I would say that the animosity and excitement going on in that show was superb. I mean, you just did not know what was going to happen. Every match was back and forth, technical caliber, style action. You had no idea what was going to happen on that show. Today, we have a jam-packed show for you as I am bringing on the M-E-double-G-S later on in the show. But first, let me just say, baby, he's here. He is here. Adam Cole, baby, is here in NXT. But we will get into that when the M-E-double-G-S gets on the show. Folks, there's a lot to be covered on this show. We will talk about TakeOver, and even Jordan himself has a little something that he hasn't told me yet. I mean, it's going to be insane. Frickin' loved this show. I mean, I just loved everything about it. The faction that formed at the end, Red Dragon and Adam Cole, it was a fantastic show. Now, folks, this is going to be an awesome show. We're going to get Megas on the air. And it's going to be a fantastic show. You really do not want to miss this. It's going to be a great show. And now, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, please welcome to the M-E-double-G-S.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. It's me. It's the M-E-double-G-S, Jordan Megas. And I believe we're talking about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3. Am I correct?
Yeah, baby!
All right. What a night. We saw two titles change hands. We saw the debut of one brand new free agent, the hottest free agent in the world at the moment. And we saw a classic match that didn't even involve a championship. In my opinion, was the best of the night.
All right, let's dive into the action. First, we had an awesome, fun, technical wrestling style of an opener with Johnny Wrestling and Andrade Almas with his valet, Zelina Vega.
Oh, Vega. Where have I heard that name before? No, this match was really decent. I knew it was going to be good. As much as I can't get into Andrade C. and Almas' character, I love his in-ring work, because he could still put on a show in the ring. And Johnny Wrestling, he's Johnny Wrestling. You're not going to expect anything less from him. And even though these two didn't have a built storyline going into this takeover, that did not alter the fact that this was a great match and it played almost nothing into it. I figured that Andrade was going to get the win because they kind of packaged him. They have Zelina Vega as his valet now. And Johnny Gargano, he was supposed to feud with Tommaso Ciampa, but after the injury, obviously that didn't happen, so there was nothing for him to do. So I didn't expect him to pull out the win.
Yeah, rightfully so. I mean, the mind games were perfect at the end. Zelina Vega throwing Johnny Gargano a DIY t-shirt.
That's cold. But one thing I like about Andrade Cien Almas right now is not even him, it's his valet, Zelina Vega. Something about her is just captivating. And the way she motivates Cien Almas, and now he's winning matches, he's winning matches like he should have done when he actually debuted in NXT at this time last year.
Well, I mean, if you don't, for our fans, if you don't know who Zelita Vega is, he was Thea Trinidad in other indie promotions.
Okay, okay. She looked familiar. I didn't remember the exact name. So, wow. Now that I put it together, no wonder she's good.
Yeah, it was Trinidad all along. I mean, I thought they would have kept her name as Thea Trinidad, but some of these names are just ridiculous. And I'm like, just keep them the same.
All right, just one moment, sir.
So, yeah, if you're just joining in, we are talking about NXT TakeOver Brooklyn 3, baby. I still cannot stop saying that. It's
all right, I apologize. Where are we at now?
Okay, we're at the second match, which I called Absolute Brutality, the Authors of Pain versus Sanity, and we got to see some strategy at its finest.
See, now this match itself, in my opinion, is one of the missing pieces about TakeOvers, that this TakeOver itself overall had a little bit of everything for everybody. You had a technical match, you had a great hard-hitting match, and then you had one that was just, it wasn't hard-hitting, but it was still rough, it was edgy. And you didn't know who was going to pull out the win. And then you saw Sanity somehow come out with a surprise win, become the new NXT Tag Team Champion. But I personally loved that spot where Killian Dane, I believe it was Killian Dane, either him or Alexander Wolf, ran through a comm while he was holding Nikki Cross, and they landed through the table at rings. That was just, like, that took me off guard. I didn't even know a table was there.
Well, if you remember the first, like, 2 minutes of the match, it broke down really fast. That's why they had the introductions not as a Japanese intro normally for title matches. They went straight to the gate. And Eric Young went straight for a table as Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf were beating up on a Kevin Rezar.
And it was a very nice bait and switch there because we, like, up until this takeover, we knew that it was going to be Killian Dane and Alexander Wolf representing Sanity. But then having Eric Young tag in before Killian Dane could ever get in the match, so that makes Eric Young the legal partner. That was an incredible bait and switch. I've never seen that done before.
Well, it was a legal move. I mean, Killian Dane, even though he was involved before the bell even rung, so it was fair game. And Eric Young said, the only way to beat the Authors of Pain is chaos, and that's what that match was. Chaos and being outnumbered. That is how Sanity dethroned the Authors of Pain. Now, moving on to what happened after the match, Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, you may know them and ROH as the tag team Red Dragon, laying waste to the NXT tag team division of the Authors of Pain and Sanity. What is to come in the future of this tag team division after seeing that brutal onslaught?
Oh, it's definitely solid because you still have Sanity who just won the titles. I guarantee you the Authors of Pain are still going to be around for a while. I don't think they're ready for a major call-up yet to the main roster, but I will say they stick around NXT, maybe debut around WrestleMania weekend. But you have Sanity, you have the Authors of Pain, you have Red Dragon now you got the Street Profits. So you got four solid teams, and then you got TM61 who's on the way back. You have those schmoes that the Street Profits faced in their debut. So you got a solid tag team division with some up card, some mid card, and some low card. You got a great overall tag team division right now.
Then you also got Heavy Machinery and the Metro Brothers, but I don't know if the Metro Brothers are really part of the tag team division. I think they were just jobbers. I don't know.
I think that are those the ones with the leather jackets and the white T-shirts?
Yes. I think
okay,
you're right.
Okay, that's who I was thinking of. Those were the schmoes I was talking about who went up against the Street Profits in their debut.
Yeah, it was the Metro Brothers, but I think they were more of a jobbing team, but I don't know if they're going to be sticking around. I mean, I'll have to look at that on sources. who they were, if they're sticking around, yada, yada, yada. Well, let's move on to the next match. Hideo Itami versus Aleister Black, and Black just had entrance of the night.
Entrance of the night, and I have to say match of the night. I got to give that my number one spot. Now, Asuka Ember Moon was a strong, strong, close number two, but I have to put Aleister and Hideo just over the top. From Aleister's entrance to the hard-hitting beginning to the big surprise, Jim Ross being on commentary, and that's probably what put it together. I mean, these two had just no respect for each other. That's all they had. It wasn't for a title. There was no super animosity. They just didn't like each other. One wanted respect, and he got it handed to him. Not in a good way, anyways. But Aleister Black and Hideo Itami, they went at it. It was hard-hitting. And still, the match of the night. And Aleister Black, he got busted open in the nose early on. I hope it isn't a broken nose, but he was definitely bleeding here at the beginning of the match. I'm glad to see Aleister pull out the win. It'll move Hideo up as well, because, I mean, that was a great match, one where even the loser comes out a winner.
Yeah, I mean, it was a nice showcase of onslaught and hard-hitting action. I mean, at the beginning, they were trying to take each other's heads off. When do you ever see a match that starts like that? They just kept kicking each other in the head. It was like everyone yelling, off with your head, off with your head. It was an onslaught of attack. I didn't even know what to even think at the beginning of the match. I mean, it was back and forth brutality. It wasn't even about respect. It was about trying to kill each other.
And, you know, going into the match, I didn't even think about the fact that those two were definitely strongly attributed in the strong style form of wrestling. So I didn't imagine that it would happen like this. Opening up with that super kick exchange and then trying to kick each other's heads off, it was a great opening. That's what pulled me in immediately. And from the opening bell, I was hooked. And that is something that can not happen too often, something that doesn't have to involve a title. It just purely takes you in. And that supports my theory that I supported on Wednesday. Aleister Black is the biggest thing, the best thing in NXT right now.
Yeah, I definitely agree. He's going to be an NXT champion before the next year. I think within the next year, he's going to become NXT champion.
Oh, there's no doubt.
I mean, he's got a unique moveset. I mean, I can't even wait till he's on the main roster.
Oh, man, one can only hope that he comes up soon. He may get honestly, I wouldn't be too upset if they moved him straight to the roster without going for the title, because he's that good right now. I mean, NXT needs him. If he moved up to Raw or SmackDown and still portrayed like this and stayed strong in this manner, you aren't hearing complaints from me.
Well, I mean, yeah, it's just pure domination on Black's part. I think that's the key to Aleister Black, is his pure domination. That black mask will come out of nowhere. You won't even know what hit you.
That's definitely one of the things about the best thing that a finisher move can be is that it could be a finisher that can be hit from any point. Like, any point in the match, someone up the top rope, someone jumps up, runs for a clothesline, it can be hit at any moment. That black mask kick is going to be the new RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's definitely true. I mean, I thought for a second when Hideo went for the GDS, Aleister Black was going to sneak out from behind and then he would turn around into the black mask, and that would have been the perfect ending to the match. But they kept it going. I felt we would have had the ending after Aleister Black got out of the GDS.
We saw Black come out with victory. It went the way he could have, and those two put on a classic, and hopefully it brings something better for Hideo Itami, because he's been in NXT for 3 years. Granted, a lot of that has been due to injury, but I still say he has the potential to be a main champion. And I think improved this time.
I definitely agree. Hideo Itami has the potential, but the injury bug did get him. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if he got called up to the main roster, because really, I don't think there's anything really for him to do next, unless he's going to go for another title run, but I don't see that happening now that we have the picture pretty much solid for the NXT title right now. But it's just with Hideo Itami, it may even be time for a call-up for him. I can see him on SmackDown Live. But no, we're not going to talk about where people are going, what's going to happen. I mean, that apparently Vegas told me earlier today that he had a surprise segment for me that is going to throw me off guard. We're not going to get into that just yet, because we still got two matches to cover, and that next match is the NXT Women's Championship match with Asuka and Ember Moon. Now, I'll give my thoughts on this one. You didn't know. You did not know who was going to win that match. It could have went either way. At some point, Ember Moon had Asuka. Asuka had Ember Moon. And Ember Moon is... She's definitely improved in the last couple months in NXT. And it was just... I just didn't even know. I was like, is she going to dethrone her? What's going to happen? The Eclipse? She had her exactly where she wanted her, but Asuka thinks very closely. It's like she is a never-ending puzzle. It looked like Ember Moon had her solid, but no, Asuka came out victorious again. Your thoughts?
Oh, yeah. Asuka was definitely within an inch of the end right from the get-go. Ember Moon hit her hard, hit her fast. These two performed in sync classic. I wouldn't say it's on the level of Bayley Sasha Banks yet, but it definitely was one of the better matches in NXT women's history. Right now, I would put that in my top three for best women matches, alongside Charlotte Sasha Banks and Bayley Sasha at TakeOver Brooklyn.
Yeah, I mean, it was definitely a hard-hitting women's match. You just didn't know. I mean, Asuka was smart locking in the Asuka lock straight on from the bat. It just kept being an onslaught of a tease of that move. But, yeah, I definitely agree with you there. Now, moving on, we have the main event, the NXT Championship match of Drew McIntyre versus Bobby Roode. And it was a glorious match.
You know, I will say it was a great match, but you know what? I'm going to go on a limb. I'm going to say it was the worst match of the night, but don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean I say it was bad or anything. I'm just saying it was the worst of the night. That's a spot for the rest of the talk. Johnny Gargano and Andrade Cien Almas put on a terrific match. The tag title match, terrific. Asuka and Ember Moon, great. Aleister Black and Hideo Itami, phenomenal. Okay. Now, Bobby Roode and Drew McIntyre, of course, they put on a really good match. I still think it goes on level any others. Story-wise, yes, because of the aftermath. But I will say, as just purely the match, forget the storyline, just the match itself, I will not say it was on level as those other matches on the card.
Well, I mean, it started off slow. It started off slow. I mean, I think part of it is to blame on how the match started rather than going at it from the get-go. I mean, it picked up towards the middle, and then at the end we had a full throttle.
I will agree with that. It definitely picked up. For me, it was a little too slow in the beginning. Way the rest of the matches of the night started hard and heavy, then this match, it seemed like it was a little lackluster. I mean, it was still great. Something was missing.
Yeah, it was a great match. But I mean, I'm just saying the reason why you probably felt it was the worst of the night was how it started.
That may play into it. you know, everybody has their own cup of tea, and this, like, this methodical, strong, like, trying to outpower each other, it's sometimes it's cool to see, but it was still a little too slow to me. But that was one of the good things about NXT. You got something for every match brought something to the table, and it was a solid card from top to bottom.
It definitely was a top to bottom, but I will have to disagree with you. I actually have a different match of the night. I thought the tag team championship match was match of the night.
Oh, that definitely, it was definitely up there. I mean, any of those, either of those two championship matches, the women's or the tag title, and Aleister Black versus the Day with Tommy, any of those could be put for match of the night, and no one would really be disappointed. Because every single one put on minimum 4 stars, minimum. And they all went out there. They did their job. Sanity won the tag title. Great for them. Asuka kept the title. She keeps the streak going. And now Drew McIntyre is the new NXT champion. However, the aftermath, we saw Red Dragon reemerge, Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly, but we also saw them cause the turn and debut of Adam Cole. I thought it was too soon to bring him in, but you know what? Sometimes things just need to happen quickly, and in this case, I feel it was the right time.
They did it right. When Bobby Fish and Kyle O'Reilly showed up tonight wreaking havoc on the tag team division, I said, they're on to something. They're not here to claim dominance. They're there to make a statement.
Oh, yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I mean, and the fact that they came out twice, that really shows you that they're in the closet. They're ready to play. Not only are they there in the tag team division, they're also showing their butts off on the main event scene. And that's honestly something we need more of, something where the tag team can get involved in the NXT title picture in some way, shape, or form.
I mean, come TakeOver Houston in November, we could see. I mean, I'm just saying, we could see Adam Cole and Red Dragon as the top champions in NXT.
You very well could.
That's what I'm saying. Now, moving on in our show, I was talking to Megas earlier, and Megas said he had an idea of a segment that was going to shake up the podcast.
Should I pitch it, or are you going to go and do the honors?
You can pitch it, because it was your idea. I mean, things are about to get shaken up on the War Room podcast, and here to bring on this segment is none other than the M-E-double-G-S.
That's right. I was talking earlier this week on the podcast. We were talking about briefly about the superstar makeup, but now I was hoping to go in depth into it and try to see where more than just one big star would lie. Who would get moved over to SmackDown? Who would get moved over to Raw? Possibly, who may get moved down to NXT or up from NXT? There's a lot that can happen right now in the Superstar Shakeup, should they do it within the next couple months. But before we get to that, I just got to make one quick note, okay, just very, very briefly. I want you to think about this for a second. Tomorrow, we got SummerSlam at the Barclays Center in Brooklyn, New York, for like the third year in a row, I believe. The main event, or at least for SmackDown, is Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jinder Mahal for the WWE Championship. I did a fact check on this, and believe it or not, this is the first WWE Championship match to not involve an American-born superstar since Bret Hart versus the British Bulldog at In Your House season beating in 1995.
Wow. That's 11 years. That's
22. You can check your math, buddy. That is 22 years. 1995 to 2017.
Jeez. That's interesting. I did not think of that. 22 years in the making, that actually is history, but, it, I mean, the Fatal 4-Way for the Universal title is going to be the main event.
That is true, but we're talking about the WWE Championship here. Now, it doesn't matter what the main event is, the WWE title is always going to be the richest prize in the business.
But I'm saying that it's Shinsuke's time. Jinder Mahal, he just, the run was stale. I think Shinsuke is going to go out. That's all I say. And the betting odds did flip today, and Shinsuke is the heavy favorite in the match.
And I wouldn't be surprised, but we are getting a little off topic. Let's get back to this superstar shakeup. Now, first question I want to ask you, who do you think would most benefit from a move? And it could be up from NXT, it could move to Raw, Raw, SmackDown, one, two to NXT, to 205 Live, whatever. Who do you think could benefit the most, and where would you put them?
Okay, who would I benefit the most? I mean, I'm going to make a bold move here. You may disagree with this, but because of the lack of how he's been used in the past couple months, I'm going to say Dolph Ziggler could benefit from a run in NXT.
That's actually, I would say too. You know, if they repackage him and it's kind of a bomb, like it just kind of goes down, then yeah, move him to NXT because he can shine in that division or in that brand. Who do you think could be hurt the most by moving? Like if they move, it's going to hurt them the most.
Like if Dolph Ziggler moved, would it hurt him?
No, okay. The question is, I asked you who would benefit the most from the shakeup. Now I'm asking you, who do you think would benefit the least? Like, who do you think would go down? Like, be worse off than they currently are? Should they jump ship to another brand?
That's a tough question because I really didn't think of that one. That right now, it would. I just don't know who it would hurt. But I'm just saying that if you were to, I mean, it's just I really don't know. More of me is strategical on what I do. I really can't answer that.
Well, I don't blame you. I mean, it's a very tough question. I mean, you're thinking about like not who would be going off better, but who do you think would pay the price for it? And that's a hard question to ask because of the way the landscape is in WWE right now. All right, but I have to go. But one more question before I do. We need
okay.
a big jump. We need one big jump. One main event level player to jump ship from one of these brands. Who do you want to see move, and where?
Can I do a double swap? Because I think a trade would need to be in place.
Sure, bring it on.
Okay. I mean, the main event is SmackDown. It's just, there's no, basically for SmackDown, SmackDown should be a three-hour show because they never utilize everybody. And I feel that with the way this would work is it would have to involve two people switching. So what I'd do is I'd move Finn Balor to SmackDown. It's just they're treating him like a mid-carder. He should be a main event. So I'd move him to SmackDown. In exchange for Randy Orton going to Raw.
You know what? That's actually, I will take that. I will send Randy Orton to Raw and $500,000 cash if I got Finn Balor on SmackDown.
How it would be done, dude? If you're going to put a main event player and you want each of them, because if you just sent one, it's going to change the main event completely. Somebody may have to move down to a mid-card but you would have to take two main event players and exchange them for one another, which is why I said Finn Balor goes to SmackDown, Randy Orton goes to Raw, because we've been seeing the same feuds over and over and over again, and it's just time for a change.
That's true. I agree with you wholeheartedly. And I will be able to talk to you tomorrow before we get to Slam, but right now I have to go. I got some business I have to attend to. It was great talking to you, Vega.
Yes, it was great talking to you at the moment. Wait, are you leaving the air?
Yes.
All righty. We will get into this at a later date, but folks, we are going to end this a little early. This has been the War Room Podcast. In the future, we will do a shake-up podcast, part two, with Megas, where we will be able to go more in depth. Thank you for joining us, and have a great night.